Well, this year, I believe God's given me three words for this year, and it's healed, healthy, and hopeful. So we started out with healed and healthy, both out of Joshua chapter 1. And last week, if you didn't get the healthy message, I don't think it's up yet, but it'll be up today or tomorrow. And it's the difference between being healed and healthy. And this idea that we have this land and this property out of Joshua 1 that we're supposed to expand ourselves to, fill that entire property, chase the giants off the land, defeat the vegetation, get the wild animals off our property, get the enemy off our property, and to really dominate that land, that wherever we place our foot, that God will give us that. It's not every place we place our foot where we want to go. It's every place we place our foot in that designed area, that defined area that God has for us. And that's a healthy person when we keep stepping into that over and over and over, a place where his mercies are new, where we keep having new vision, where we accomplish certain things in our life, but we want to go further and go more and to follow what God is doing. This morning, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to talk about hopeful. So it's healed, healthy, and hopeful. So we're going to wrap. We're not going to just talk about healed, healthy, and hopeful the whole time, but we're going to wrap some messages around healed, healthy, and hopeful. And in fact, the goal setting is a part of being. Goal setting is a faithful and a hopeful act, and it's also a great way to move past barriers where you need healing and to get healthy in your life. So if you feel like you're healed in an area, setting a goal then will help you be healthy in that area. I'm going to talk about hope today, and it's interesting, as I studied hope, it kept going hope and faith, and they're very much the same, and they're often translated simply as trust. So when it says, put your hope in the Lord, it means put your trust in the Lord, have faith in the Lord to trust in the Lord. So I don't want to oversimplify hope, but hope is an expectation or belief in the fulfillment of something desired based on God's promises. And I want to look at that. So faith plants our feet and says, I have land. So Joshua had to say, I have land. I have faith that I have land. God's given me a boundary line of that land. And then hope says, I will walk into that land. I will sharpen my weapons. I will go to bed early. Joshua said, I won't be distracted by Fox News, by CNN, or MSNBC. Because he has hope for something far deeper. He doesn't have a hope that his country will be great. He has hope anchored in that his God is great, okay? And so there's a huge difference there. Most of us hear the word hope, and we could just as easily replace it with wish. I wish this president would get elected. I wish people would stop doing that. I wish my spouse would do that. That is a wish anchored in a Tinkerbell and fairy dust, okay? It's just something you put out there, and you almost feel like you're a better person because you wish good things upon the world. Remember the old, I wish the whole world could sing and buy everybody a Coca-Cola and hands across America and all. It's all these wishing things, but for us as Christians, there's a deep, deep hope that we have in us. And the hope isn't that I have a ministry. The hope isn't that my doctrine is right. The hope is anchored in the Lord, okay? So faith plants our feet and lets us see, and then hope puts us to work. Hope gets us busy. And there's something about hope that we've really missed in our introduction here. I want to just challenge this, that a lot of us would never say, I'm without hope, yet all of our language and our countenance and our lifestyle, how we spend our calendar, says, I have no hope for friendships in the future. I have no hope for ministry in the future. I have no hope for happiness in my current relationship. And so I want to address that real quick, that if you are anywhere where your nose is to the ground and you're depressed and you can't see, you're lacking hope. And hope springs eternal within us. Hope springs eternal within us. I found out about when the year I turned 50, I was determined I was going to get a tattoo, and I'm gonna show you my watch, not my tattoo, because I didn't get a tattoo. But I worked and worked and worked. If I was going to get a tattoo, where would I have my tattoo? I didn't get a tattoo. Don't worry, Some of you are like, yes, some of you are really worried. And I thought, what would I get? And I started looking at it, and you know, my last name is Heron, and it's a bird, and there's a really cool silhouette of a heron, and you can see him. And if you go into a tattoo place, they've always got this bird. It's usually a crane, but I thought I could easily make that with a few feather changes, a heron. And then I looked back, and I had from my dad's sister, my Aunt Ruth, had a coat of arms, and the heron coat of arms is your typical coat of arms. It's got the two herons, I believe a heron down here, but the Latin phrase is nils desperandum. And basically, it's never despairing, or never reason to despair, or never reason not to have hope. And I thought, that sounds a little bit like me already. And I thought, that's the tattoo I would get. So if I ever walk in and I've got, you know, the short sleeve shirt, my cigarettes rolled up there, and you're seeing my tattoo, you know that I turned 60, you know? And I have another job. No, I'm kidding. So, but that idea that if when we're despairing, we're lacking hope in God. And almost always it means we've placed hope in somebody else. So this idea of hope springs up within us comes out of John 4:14. And it's all over, but it says here, whoever takes a drink of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Each of us has his source embedded in us. Each of us, it says, I'm a believer. I'm God's kid. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. We have hope anchored in here that is meant to spring eternal. So if I'm hoping, I mean, if I'm wishing for something and it's connected to hope, I hope my ministry flourishes. I hope I get to travel. I have some travel plans. I was sharing with somebody about Scotland in September and Barcelona and that same trip in September. And I hope. Now, that's a hope of a wish that I'm in control of or other people are in control of that are across the ocean. But I hope that happens. But that's not the same hope I'm talking about. If that doesn't happen, I'm not disappointed. I'm disappointed because I want to go. But I have a hope that's far deeper and far anchored in something else. And I don't need anything external to give me that hope, okay? So this hope we're talking about is not, I hope I get a new car, I hope I have a better job, I hope I have a better husband, I hope I have better kids. It's something far deeper than that when we're talking about this hope. Now, I think that on this faith and this hope thing, I'm sure there could be like a certain, this is faith and this is hope, but the more I look at the Bible and the more you try to divide it as this is this and grace is here and peace is here and hope is here, it's just all right here in the being of Jesus Christ. And it's a really simple yet simple idea, but it's really hard for us because we like to know little bits and pieces. And I think that faith teaches us to look for the promised thing, to look for the promised life, the promised land. Well, hope teaches us to hold on to the goodness of God right now in our situation and to take the land. Maybe out of Joshua 1, faith lets him see that Moses is dead, I've got some land, and then hope allows him to be strong and courageous. Hope allows him to keep going on in some other way. So I'm going to give you four. This is going to be a four-part message. I'm just going to give you H-O-P-E. Some of them are longer than others. So the first one is, if for hope, is help is on the way. 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 Whatever you came in here with today, help is on the way. And it's not like God waited for you to ask for it. He had already provided it. Now, if I want a trip. I want a trip in September. I have some goals I've set for this year, so I want those things, and those things maybe God hasn't sent my way yet, but they're things that I see that I would like, that I hope for, that would enhance me, my life, what I see for myself, what I hope God sees for me, all right? But what happens is help is on the way, but the things I really need, peace, love, grace, wholeness, just a depth in myself, me being a true me, truly masculine, truly less Heron, the best me I could ever be, that has already been given to me. That's already been given to me. I don't have to beg for it. I don't have to ask for it. In fact, I think I just need to like believe it and step out into it. And we've talked some about that the last couple days. So this idea that help was on the way, Is the idea of Daniel saying, you know, the angel coming and Daniel saying, well, what took you so long? And he goes, I was being fought. Don't get me wrong. Some things are being fought so that you don't get that. But hope comes in and says, I believe it. I'm not seeing it, but I still hope it's there. I'm believing it. I believe it. I can't see it, but I still hope it's there. And we'll see that in Daniel 3, which I forgot to read the scripture. Let's go back to Daniel 3. You guys are probably already there. The story's going to be very, very familiar to you, I believe. I'm going to challenge you to go read all of 3. I'm going to start with verse 13. And the setup is the king has made an idol. The king has decided everybody needs to bow at a certain sound. And everybody needs to bow to this. And what happens is 3 Hebrew children don't bow. Those 3 Hebrew children are tattled on by other people in the government, possibly because of jealousy of their position and where they were at. Okay, so this is King Nebuchadnezzar learning that these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue from my hand? There is so much in here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. See, there's faith, hope, and love right in here. Faith, God's able to deliver us. Hope, even if he doesn't, we're still going towards that fire. We're still not bowing our knee. Love, even if we get in that fire and we die, we're not turning no matter what, because we know God loves us, we love God. Faith, hope, and love. The most powerful is love. We often talk about faith is the most powerful thing, but love is the better way, the more powerful thing. But there's faith, hope, and love right here. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. And that's what I'm going to share out of that. But this whole idea that hope is on, God is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. We often don't believe it. We feel bad. We feel sick. It's done. In fact, we are so confident in our sickness, in our poverty, in our lack of friendship, in our lack of a spiritual ministry, in our lack of calmness in our mind or emotions, that we hide because we're pretty sure help's not coming. And so faith says God can heal. Then we lack hope and we hide and we wait until we die. And our faith is that our death will do more than the death of Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And so there's hope there. Hope motivates. Hope moves us. Hope moves us into ministry. It's not just faith. It's hope does something in us. And that's important, that help is on the way. Now, there's a story. And I know hope is extremely difficult in bad situations, but often we have spent decades pulling hope from wrong things. We pull hope from our jobs. We pull hope from our spouses. We pull hope even from wrong hope, from our own health, from our own ability to thrive, from our own ability to minister to people, from our doctrine. And then our church falls apart, something happens, we lose our job, and our hope tumbles down. And hope then seems really, really hard, but our hope was never anchored in God. And I had this idea this morning, this vision. I'm not a sports guy, but you know when you play football, they would teach you when the running back gets a hand off the quarterback, go, you were supposed to run like this and get the ball like this, because then you wouldn't be stripped of the ball. You couldn't get it, and if you fell, you'd fall on the ball, and you didn't until you got to the open field. You didn't run it here, then you could run and look like they take all the pictures like that. And I felt like the Lord told me this morning, I'm going to strip that false hope out of people's hands this morning. We have so much false hope. You guys walked in with false hope. I hope my new job. I hope this. And it's been based on your own achievement. You know what? I'm going to keep on. But I want hope. I want the wrong hope to be stripped out of your hands so the Lord can hand you the right hope, which is right in here. And some of us are like this with our hope, and we're afraid of anything touching our hope. And it's not real hope. The hope springs eternal. It allows us to do this. It allows us to operate, to move around, to function as the body of Christ. And the hope is difficult in a hard situation. I think that's why in Hebrews 10:23 it says, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And we don't. We profess that it's Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that it's a relationship but not religion. But then we hold unswervingly on to our religion. And it's a bad thing, and we're dying for it. There's a story of a school system had this whole thing. When a kid was in the hospital, they would have a teacher come in and teach those kids. And this teacher got an assignment one day. She was the hospital teacher. And the boy was in third grade. He was a 9-year-old boy, and they had the school teacher told the nurse or the hospital teacher that he needs to learn his nouns and verbs today. His nouns and verbs. So the hospital teacher gets it. She walks in. She walks into the room. She's shocked. Nobody told her that this boy had been burnt almost to death and he wasn't doing well. And she spent the day. She just said, "I'm just going to teach him his grammar. I'm going to teach him what's on my schedule to teach." So she taught for just over an hour, hour and a half, and she left out of there, and she felt horrible, like she had done, just didn't do anything good, because this kid was a dying kid, she felt. And the next day, the hospital administrator called her, and she immediately thought she was in trouble, so she started apologizing, and the hospital administrator was like, no, what did you do? The kid's, like, been up, he's been eating. And it wasn't for a couple weeks later when they asked the boy, what was your turning point? What changed things for you? And he just said, you know what? They're not going to send a teacher to teach me grammar if I'm dying, are they? And you know what? Every morning you wake up is God telling you, you've got purpose, you've got hope, help is on the way. Every single morning, every single morning. And I know you can be beat down and feel beat down, but who the heck cares? Get up. Get up and find that hope. You believe that Jesus is going to come and raise you from the dead? You believe that Jesus is going to, you're going to go to heaven and a mansion's there? I don't know why I'm yelling, but I mean, think about it. There's something there that we think that, and we want everybody to learn that, but we don't have any hope to thrive in our own day, in our own life, in our own, what we have for us. So H is... help us on the way. Second, I've covered it a little bit. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. I love how these three Hebrew children, their hope wasn't in technical difficulty with the lighting of the fire. And we often call technical difficulty miracles. And they could be, but they're probably not in the way that we need to see the depth of miracles in our life. They weren't waiting for the king's good graces. They weren't waiting for the soldiers to go, no, we love these three guys. They weren't waiting for their clothing to be 100%, fireproof. They weren't waiting for 100% chance of rain to come and put out the fire. They were only Jesus. Nothing else matters. The king doesn't matter. All the people that saw us doesn't matter. The laws of the land don't matter. The guards don't matter. The burning fire. They're sitting there. I imagine them sitting there watching them put the fire 7 times hotter. And they have all that time to change. In fact, if we just read, the king is what? He's furious, and then his tone changes, and he's nice. And then they say, well, no, and then he's furious again. We get chances all the time to put our hope in other things, and people are furious when we don't put hope in other things. People are mad when you stick your foot in their politics, or you stick your foot in their morals, or you stick their finger in their doctrine. They're mad at that because they're holding so tight onto it, but it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. There's a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. I've been looking at that, so I hope for something, and I grow sick because I don't get that thing. And I felt like the Lord's showing me, he's like, Les, we always apply that to my hope for ministry or my hope for marriage. Your hope for ministry will always make you sick. Your hope for success will always make you sick. That's why you see a superstar and you hear them and you're like, that person is brilliant. What an amazing voice. What an amazing actor. And they have hit after hit, and then you find out that they committed suicide. Because regardless of what they got, regardless of what they wished for, regardless of what they put their hope in here on earth, it all made them sick. They were already sick. It just made them sicker. And they get to the point, oh, this record, this movie deal, this model, this superstar, all of these things that I get, all this fame that I get, isn't going to heal my heart, so I'll kill myself. And the thing is that hope deferred makes us sick. Everything else is going to make us sick that we put our hope in except for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This morning, I saw two things during worship. That was the first thing was the stripping of the ball. The second thing was people. Not just people out there, us, in the corner, fighting to hold on to our hope and our gifting, fighting to hold on to our right doctrine, fighting to hold on to our right politics, fighting to hold on to our right morals. Disappointed when politicians fail. Disappointed when preachers fail. Disappointed when ministry doesn't work out. Disappointed when we get laid off. Disappointed when something bad happens because our hope has been in those things. We're in the corner wanting just a little bit, and we've got a king offering us everything. Me, I want that everything. I want the whole enchilada. I want the whole enchilada. I want the whole thing. I want Joe's Crab Shack, peace, love, and joy. No, it's peace, love, and crab. I want peace, love, and joy. I want the whole thing. I want the abundance of my inheritance provided to me, and I don't think that my death entails me to it. I mean, it does fully, but I think the death of my Savior does, the death of Jesus does. And I want that inheritance here on earth. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to live in it. So where's your hope? Is your hope in a politician? Is next year going to be a great year? Are you going to end this year in a bang if your politician gets voted in? See, and what happens is a lot of people are withdrawing from politics altogether because they've lost hope in the system. They don't even want to watch it because it's just so bickering and everything. But you know what? Hope will propel you into the system. I mean, these three Hebrew children were taken captives as young people. Now they're living in a foreign country, working in a government that's not there, speaking a foreign language. Yet they have hope, and they're successful. In fact, I was reading in a commentary that they're naming four sets of clothing they took off as a sign of how successful they actually were. But we think, well, I'm going to only hope in Jesus. We heard hunker down a lot, you know, during the Persian War, the Gulf War, and I'm just going to hunker in, and we have all, and those people are lacking hope. And when people are fighting in politics, and they're all about politics, and they've lacked hope, or they put hope in the wrong thing. And we've put hope in just our own security of being alone. But hope will motivate us. Hope will motivate us to minister to others. Hope will motivate us to engage in politics. It's hope. It's hope. And we have hope. And if you're supposed to be in the political system, get in the political system and be awesome at it. If you're supposed to be social, if you're supposed to be doing something socially and helping somebody that needs help, get in it. But don't put your hope in helping them. It doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make me a better person to be a pastor. My hope is in Jesus and only Jesus, and I want your hope to be there and only there. And if you thought about where hope has really been hammered, I bet you will find where you put your hope in a person, probably in an authority figure. You put your hope there, and it was ruined. So P is praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Get your mouth moving. Get your life moving in the direction of praise. I like these guys here that what they say is praising God. And how they're acting is praising God. There's no sense of fear in them. There's no sense of awe that they're in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. There's no sense of doom that they're there. They're very clear. Their whole life that we see right here in this very, very small part is a life of hope. It's a life of hope. Praise God for where you're at right now. I had heard a part of a message this week, and I kept hearing somebody's name when I heard the message, and it was so I sent them a link to the message, and this morning I felt like God say that this part, this for you. Because this pastor was teaching that maybe you should, what I got out of it is maybe you should thank God for you, what you have right now, because if he gave you anything more that you're asking for, it would hurt you. Because God loves to use us, but he doesn't want to overuse us. God doesn't want to use us like an employer. God doesn't want to use us like a mean boss. God doesn't want to use us and then just throw us aside. God wants to use us in such a way where we thrive. And so I was driving up here. I was like, God, thank you for exactly where I'm going this morning. Thank you for my place at the Journey Church. Thank you for the exact number of people that are here. Thank you for the exact number of people that will be at the Healing Venue, that whatever you're bringing my way, whatever I have this year, I thank you for that. And to praise God for that. My hope is in him. And I don't mean deny reality, deny the facts, don't be wise or anything like that. I don't mean name it, claim it, or anything like that. But I mean, praise God for who he is right now as you're standing and impending doom is right there. Before you get to the fire, before you get to the king, before you get bound up, praise God. Praise God. It says in verse 16 to 18, it says, this is the three, one of the three says, God is able, but even if he doesn't, shows where hope is. God is able, but even if he doesn't. But we like to say that faith will get it for me when Jesus gets it for me. He brings it. He brings me that hope and that peace. In my faith and my hope, I walk in that. But I tell you what, that to think about God, to think about your hope and where you're at. Attach your words and actions to God himself. Not to what you can see, not to what you can feel, not to know what you already know. Often we thank God for a lineup, which is good. We pray for our food. We say, God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for this. But what if we thought God in it was thankful in a different way? We praised him. And it was like, it's almost embarrassing if you would sit and you would take a psalm and you would praise God according to that psalm because it's so deep and so powerful. So praise God not for what you have or what you're doing or what you hope even, but just praise him for who he is and declare who he is. So it's H-O-P-E, enter into your promised life. This is something we totally forget. We have to enter in. We have to take a step, and then another step, and another step, and another step. We watched the movie The Martian with Matt Damon in it. At the end, he's stranded on Mars. It's amazing, blah, blah, blah. But he's teaching a class, and he says, do the math. Do one problem at a time, do the next problem, do the math, and you accumulate and you do enough problems, you will come home alive. But you know what? That's for us. Take one step at a time and keep taking steps. Keep taking right steps. There is always action. There is always action to what God is saying. That action might be just within yourself of taking every thought captive. It might be that within yourself of releasing some words. But there's always something. But we like to use Christianity just as it's something over there. But it is so innately connected to us, to who we are, that we have to physically act it out. You know, I know some of us don't like to stand during worship. We don't like to raise our hands. Some of us don't even like to sing. We don't like to, I just don't need to repeat the words. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe repeating this 25 minutes of words is the only repetition corporately with God's people that you've done all week. Maybe it's the only time you've submitted yourself to a leadership, to Stevie, to repeat and say it together. Maybe it's releasing for you to do this. Maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's freedom for you to sit in your chair. I totally get that. I went to a meeting. I walked in. I was so disappointed. I'm like, oh, there's going to be so much music. It's like an hour and 15 minutes of music. But I was smart. I thought, okay, what's the free thing for me to do? What do I do? What's for me, God? Should I engage in this? I didn't hear like the Lord saying engage. I found an electrical outlet. I fired up my laptop. I took notes. I heard the Lord. And I waited till the actual workshop part started. But maybe there's something that you have to move into. Maybe it's committing. This is going to hurt some of your feelings. I'm going to be at church every Sunday. I am going to read my Bible for 365 days this year, or at least for the next all the rest of the days left. I am going to give something of my income. I am going to serve communion to my family every Saturday morning. I'm taking steps. They can seem arbitrary, but they're things that enter us into the land. Moses was told, wherever you place your foot. And so many of us are like, that's my land. God has given me this. He's promised me this. But we're not taking any steps. We're not picking up a shovel. We're not picking up a sword. We're not picking up a flamethrower. I have a friend who was telling me that he was out on another friend's ranch, and it was during the drought, and he had all this cactus, and he was flamethrowing with a homemade flamethrower the cactus to get the needles off, and the cows were so hungry that it took about 90 seconds for it to be cool enough, and the cows were rushing and eat all the cactus. Some of us need but some of us need a flamethrower. We need to step into our land. We need to step into our jobs, into our ministries, into our families, into our parenting, and step in with a tool in our hand. Step in with some confidence. Step in without confidence. Just take a step. What do you want to do? What do you want to do this year? Who do you want to be? What do you want to have? What do you want people to say about you at the end of this year that they're not going to say about you this year right now, but in a year, by the way you step into your promised land, into your promised life, you can begin to be that person. But you know what we don't want to do? We don't want to do often simple steps of just stepping on in. It says here in Colossians, I'm going to read Colossians and Galatians, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And part of this hope message is that there's a reward for hope here on earth. There's a reward for believing. There's a reward for engaging. The reward is not that you won't be burnt to death, by the way, or that you won't be eaten by a lion, because you might be. The reward is something right here that happens. And I think as it happens here, it happens here, and it happens here. It happens in my spirit, in my mind, in my emotions, and then I carry that with me. There's work to be done. There's an inheritance to be uncovered. There's a pearl. There's stuff out there. There's stuff that should be blossoming in your land that's not blossoming yet. And then it says, do not grow weary or do not lose hope of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Hope helps us never give up. That help is on the way, to only put your hope in Jesus, to praise him now, and to enter into your territory, enter into your life. Find out what that is. It might be one area. I'm not saying take over the whole thing, north, south, east, to west. Find out this year, this area, I'm going to enter into this right here. I have said for years I want to be in ministry or do this. I have said for years I want to achieve this. I want to be this person. I want to be happier this year. I want to be more joyful this year. I want to be, whatever it is, I want to be that and then walk into that land. And God will give you that land as you step towards it. So I want to ask four questions is each based on this H-O-P-E, is where do you need help? What are you hoping in other than Jesus? And most of us will be afraid to ask that question and listen for the answer. Most of us will say, oh, I asked it, but I didn't hear anything. But I find when I asked God some of those questions about myself, he loves to answer them, and they're answered. They sometimes feel like a rebuke, but they're amazing. Because it's a rebuke like somebody saying, you didn't qualify, you know, you just got a bronze medal at the Olympics. You know, it's still like you're still up there. It's just like something good. It propels you to want to do more when the Lord talks to you in those ways. So where do you need help? Where are you hoping in something other than Jesus? Where are you refusing to praise him? And then where are you refusing to obey him? Because the walk is obedience, is obedience. I can sit here, fill myself up with the word, know what's wrong with the world, pray all day, and never take a step. And I need hope to obey. I need hope to move forward. Just bow our heads.